Hey, welcome to the show, Macness Podcast, episode 99. This is a show that I just kind of wanted to do, last minute type of deal. We just had the tragedy that happened in Florida back on last week on Valentine's Day, on February 14th, 2018. Some guy going into a school and opening up on the students. He wasn't even a student there. He was a former student. And just with all the gun violence that's going on within the world, I mean, not just in schools. I mean, there's been other things like office buildings or just out in the street and what have you. And there's a lot of stuff going on about gun control and everything. I mean, you've heard me rant and rave on what I think about like the gun control issue and all that. I mean, but this episode isn't about me tonight. I have the host of the Out of Necessity podcast, our young sister, Jade. She is going to, she's sitting, well, she's not sitting right here with me, but she's on with me right now, and I just, she is, well, first of all, Jade, how you doing?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm as good as I can be. How old are you?
Of course. I'm 17, almost 18. I'm a senior right now in high school.
Right on. I asked you earlier if you wanted to do this, and it's awesome that you are. I want to ask you, as a student being in school. I mean, for me, when I was in school, which was a long, long time ago, there was problems. Not so much in my school with gun violence, but there was a school across the street from my house where someone did bring a gun to school and shot someone. As far as I remember, that's the only incident that I can remember growing up as a kid. I'm sure there was other things, but there was no internet or anything like that, so it was just what we saw in the paper or on the news. But for what just happened, and this isn't the only time it's happened numerous times at other schools. As a student, finding out the news of what happened in Florida last week, how did that make you feel?
Well, I actually, it's interesting that you wanted to do this and everything, considering right now, since it's my last semester of high school, there's a point to all of this I'm going to build up. To graduate, I have to take this civics class, and it's a really, I don't know if the right word is chill class to say. Like, the teacher, he's pretty easygoing, but he, wants the students to actually talk about what's going around in the world versus, homework and tests and stuff like that. And so that's one of the main things that we actually talked about this past week. And so it was on Valentine's Day that this Florida shooting happened, right, Kevin?
Yeah.
Okay, That's really crazy and sad. Crazy news too. I mean, any other day would be as crazy as well with the shooting and everything. But I knew for a fact, because I am a teacher's aide right now, that during first period that day of Valentine's Day, we were supposed to have a fire drill. And you know what happens with a fire drill. You have little students go out of the school to practice if there was ever an emergency. And it was actually decided by the school district to cancel it. because of what had happened. And this was actually, the fire drill was planned to happen the 15th. And so when the tragedy happened on the 14th, it was canceled. And all my teachers, I work with people in the office, they felt that it was probably better off to cancel it. And I had heard walking around and everything that was going to happen. And so, you know, there are kids that were kind of like, oh, I was kind of looking forward to, you know, missing class. And I was like, well, no. I mean, the reason why we have these drills and why we have these safety precautions is so that we know what to do. But because of this sad, terrible thing that happened yesterday, of course they're going to do something like, you know, cancel an event where there could be, you know, students, like hundreds of students wide out in the open. And sadly, that's just a thing that God, this sucks. It's normal to be, to have to cancel something like a fire drill because of something that happened, like the shooting in Florida, and how it's like there's been over, 10? Yeah, it's telling me there's been, I'm not sure if the answer is right, but 18 shootings this year. And it's February.
Yeah, it's nuts on just, yeah, man, we're almost the end of February, and all this tragedy has happened this year. I mean, but it happened years before as well, but it's just crazy. Are you afraid to go to school? I mean,
oh no. See, that's one of the things that I actually I have never felt throughout my school, you know, going to school, having an education. All my teachers, it's kind of sad that this has to happen, but it kind of happens every time like an event happens, which is sadly becoming more frequent now. But the teachers always have to kind of have this like announcement about how it's not just their duty as our teacher, but as a human being to, if like anything like a school shooting or some like type of emergency like that, their first priority is to protect the students. And I think that's part of the reason why I feel safe going to school. And it's my school is actually pretty different from most schools, that because of how long it's been around and the way it was built. Most schools nowadays, the way they're supposed to be built is supposed to be one big building, kind of to like, and there's supposed to be like a couple entrances. My high school is spread across three different streets and multiple levels, and there are countless entrances.
There's a lot of people going around saying they should put metal detectors in school and or locking all the doors during school hours. Do they do that at your school, or do you guys have metal detectors?
No. There is like talk about it. Like there's always like suggestions about like stuff that the teachers could do and stuff that the students should do, like kind of like protecting themselves. And it's just, and I'm just one student and I'm just one person, but in my opinion, I know there was like this whole one opinion. I obviously, I'm not going to say who it was, but there was this one person in my school who said like, oh, the teachers need to learn how to shoot. And I know plenty of the other students weren't exactly comfortable with that. So it's just, I'm not sure if schools that have metal detectors and locked doors during the day are better off. But for my school, and I'm just, this is one school across hundreds and thousands, but you know, I think it's different with every case, and that's that might be part of the problem.
Have you had, after this tragedy or any other tragedy that's happened in a school, do your teachers discuss what happened, or do you talk amongst your friends on what's going on? Or like after last week's incident in Florida, do you and your friends sit down and talk about it, or did your teachers did how many of your teachers talk to you students
Cool.
about what happened?
That's actually a good question, because I actually spoke to my dad about that as soon as I actually he picked me up. So I, as I mentioned previously, my civics teacher, we talk about, things going on in the world. And out of my six, well, technically I have five teachers, but I communicate with six teachers throughout the day, and I'll sometimes talk to other teachers in like during break or during lunch or after school. So I might have talked to like maybe seven, eight teachers that day. My civics teacher spoke on it, and he took time out of his teaching to how do I say this? To actually talk about like how many students were sad. Oh God. Yeah, the word that I just can't say. Oh, and the key detail that I had been thinking about in the back of my head that I just remembered now. The person, the shooter, many times that something like a school shooting happens, or like the shooting in Las Vegas, the shooter usually, the police officers find that he or she have turned the gun on themselves. And it was actually found out that this shooter didn't do that. And so an interesting point that my civics teacher brought up was the possibility of how much this shooter is going to be studied, and whether it's related to mental health or just what was going on and what people can do to, like, oh, I don't know, somehow get these warning signs, or if there is a possibility to have those. It's crazy to think about probably how much this person is going to be studied from now on.
Yeah, I mean, I was also thinking that same thing, because usually, I mean, like you said, I mean, these shooters have always turned the guns on themselves. But this guy, I mean, he obviously, I don't know, maybe he was, I'm just, to me, I just think he wasn't thinking about what he was doing. But I don't know. I mean, but now we can and figure out what triggered this guy off. I mean, we're not sure. He could say, at this point, he can say whatever he wants, and they're gonna probably determine if he, well, this guy's crazy or anything. But I know a lot of the times, let's like the Columbine, for instance, those guys, they were being bullied by other students in the school, be it a jock or whoever. And as being a Native American, when I was growing up in school, I mean, I was borderline being bullied. I think it was more teasing, but I think teasing is considered being bullied of just because of that I was Native American. But I never got to the it never got to the point to where I wanted to harm anyone other than just fighting. I mean, that was how I always kind of settled my thing. I never ever thought about getting guns or anything, or knives, or some kind of weapon to go take care of these guys that were bothering me. I never thought that way. But then again, everyone is different. With bullying, I mean, you've been a student pretty much your whole life as soon as you got into school. But
yeah.
have you witnessed any bullying within, I mean, any of the times you were in school?
Yeah, I just thought of that. My dad just actually brought up a good point. So going kind of way back, well, I'm 17, and this happened when I was like 8 to about 9 to 10 years old. I actually ran this group in my elementary school. I was the leader, and it was a pretty cool idea that I had come up with my teacher at the time to create a group called Peacemakers. And basically what it was there would be this group of kids in the school, and basically anytime there was a problem or a fight or any type of conflict that between students, either they could come forward themselves, and more often than not, that's what would happen. Or a teacher would say, okay, you're going to go to the Peacemakers, and then we would take time and settle it out and talk with them.
And how old were you?
Like 8, I believe.
Okay, listening as a parent, as a father, that is amazing for you for you guys to come up with that kind of program. Being so young and thinking about you guys wanted to help that. I mean, that's awesome. I mean, see, we never had anything like that. I mean, we had our little groups, our academic groups and everything, but I don't remember ever hearing anything like that, if there was a problem or something like that, on what you guys were doing about welcoming in whoever was involved to try to settle it out peacefully. I mean, that's amazing. I mean, I don't know if other schools do this, but if any of you listeners, any of you parents that are listening, if you guys do have, or if you had that kind of program within your school or your children's school, I mean, do let me know, because I think that's awesome. I mean, and
yeah, it really, like, I mean, we were elementary schoolers, so like the problems may have been considered minuscule, but they really did help out those kids. And I actually, before I left that grade, I had made sure, talking to my teacher and other teachers, that it was going to continue. And so I'm pretty positive that it still continues on today. And that's just, it's kind of a really cool legacy to have that going. And like, it's been 10 years now, and a group that I created with a teacher is probably helping kids now today. Oh my God, I haven't thought about this in years. That's insane.
That's awesome though. And as a parent, thank you so much for doing that. I am sure, I mean, you may not think so, but I'm sure you guys have helped a ton of different children. I mean, just kids your age, and it may be younger, or just, I mean, but that's awesome. And like I said, you may not think about it, and like, you haven't thought about it for a long time, but I mean, that's awesome. And if there is any young listeners out there that I'm not cussing or anything in this episode, but that's awesome. If you guys can have programs like that, is there anything like that now in your high school?
Yes, actually. There is this, it's a club, and I believe it's called Hopes. I hope I get the acronym right. Helping Our Peers Safely, something involving safety. And it's really cool because I actually know a couple members. There's like a whole big process of joining and everything. There's this summer program they have to go through. And it's basically this training about communication and keeping others' privacy, and just, you know, basically talking any type of problem out, like, for instance, family abuse, domestic abuse, or maybe grades, or need for tutoring, or, you know, just someone to talk to. It goes from, you know, big to, you know, it's like, hey, I need advice on something, that type of thing. And so they have this training that they go through during the summer, and then they get to be a part of the program throughout the year. And there are these boxes around school that you can drop notes in. There's either that, or you can contact one of the members, and they always have these pins on their outfits and their backpack that they're required to wear.
And what is in the backpack?
They're pins that they have.
Okay.
So they like the pin that how do you
say?
Yeah, it's an identifier.
Okay.
No, like writing pin, but like.
Like something you like, pin to your clothes, or.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it says like Hope's member, and then like it's like a little button. It's like a button. That's the word. Yeah. They have buttons on their backpack that they're required to wear.
I mean, that's awesome as well. I mean, just for what you guys did when you were in elementary school, and what's going on in your school right now. And I'm sure there is a ton of conversation going on now within that program. How are your teachers or your principal dealing with everything right now? I mean, do they have assemblies where they're talking about this? Is there counselors that came to your school after this to see? I mean, just because I know it was on the other side of the country, but this affects all of us.
Right.
No matter what state you're in, and what. If you're in a big city or a little rinky-dink town like the town that I live in, or where you're at, I mean, did they bring in anybody or say, here's a number you guys can call, or come to this class, this counselor is going to be here to talk about it? Was there anything like that?
You know, there actually wasn't a lot of talk after it happened. I think there may have been a mention about, if you need to, that there's always a counselor that's on campus. But yeah, no, there was no assembly. Yeah.
How is the security in your school? I mean, I mean, they know there's always like hall monitors or something. Is there, did they like double up on grown-ups that for patrol the halls?
So yeah, there is a hall monitor. He's really cool. He has a bike, because, you know, as there's like three layers to the campus, and so he's always going around campus, and so I manage it all. He's really cool. But I don't think he's on campus like all like 7 to 8 hours of the day. But I know there's two security cars that kind of switch out. Like, they have their car near the campus, and they'll kind of either be, like, talking to the hall monitor or be, like, around the school, so you kind of always know that he's there. One of the two are there.
These security guards, they're not armed, are they?
I think they... I'm not positive, but I do believe they always have tasers on them.
Okay. Here's a question. How do you feel? I mean, I know a lot of people are saying this, and this is what they want. How do you feel like let's say tomorrow you go to school? I know you're off, but let's say you walk to school, you're going to school, to your dad drops you off at school tomorrow, and you see someone standing out there, not holding a weapon, but you can clearly see that they have a sidearm around their waist. How would that make you feel? Would that make you feel safer, worried, or what?
This is obviously just me, but I don't know. I mean, the first thought that that comes into my mind is a little anxious, because the first thing, as soon as you said, I'd be like, okay, well, why would you need a gun? You know, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. So, and then, like, if it was one of those situations where it would be explained, it's like, oh, okay, I mean, I guess I'd be okay with that, but I'd still feel like, I don't know, I feel anxious, probably.
This is a question. I mean, answer it if you want. What are your thoughts towards guns? Like, would you ever have one? Or would you ever fire one if you're under supervision, some kind of training or anything? Just what are your thoughts on guns? I mean, just take movies out of it and everything, because that's just for entertainment. But on a personal level, how do you feel about guns?
Well, I don't like them. I don't know. I mean, like, when you mentioned the whole, like, training, the supervision type thing, this isn't necessarily, I mean, it's kind of similar, but I've always thought about doing, like, self-defense classes. Mm-hmm. And so something like that, I guess being able to know how to use a gun and training with it, I might do that one day, but I don't know if I'd ever personally own a gun.
Do you know anyone that owns a gun? I mean, not like your friends or anything, like like an aunt or uncle or something, or
no.
Because I assume your dad doesn't have one, correct?
No, he has a lightsaber and strength. He's got, oh yeah, he has a bat next to his bed at all times.
He's got two guns, his left and his right arms, right?
Right. That's what my grandmother always says, so yeah.
Okay, I mean, I am not saying anything bad about people that own guns or anything. I don't own one myself, but I do see myself in the future purchasing a handgun. It's just that's my right, actually. And but I just, that's what I want, that I want one. I mean, I'm not a hunter or anything, but it's just I don't know, I've always wanted one. I mean, I grew up around guns. My uncles, my grandparents, my father, he had a rifle in the house, which I never touched. Yeah, I've touched it before, but it was never loaded or anything. And I know I shouldn't, being just a young kid and all that. And thank God nothing ever happened with it, because my dad kept it right where we could get it. I don't know if my little brothers knew where it was, but
it was always there.
Yeah, it was always there. I mean, I think my dad only pulled it out when he went shooting, when he went back, took it to Arizona. Out there, you can just go. It's like the Wild West out there with guns. But here's a question. If you were to talk to someone that's feeling down and feeling depressed, that came to you for help, what would you say to this person? Like, say I came to you and just, hey Jade, I'm just not feeling right. I mean, I wouldn't say not feeling right, but I'm having a bad life at home or anything. What would you say to someone like that? I mean, or would you just sit there and listen and be that strength for them, to let them not unload, but to just get it out of them? Because I know for me personally, for talking. I mean, that's probably why I do this. I think it feels better for me to talk when I'm feeling down, when I'm feeling sad and depressed. If someone came up to you with a problem, what would you do? I mean, you answer it if you want to. You don't have to.
Yeah, I can totally answer this. I have to remember a few things that I need to pop around to. But I'm going to answer your question of what I would do to the person, but the first thing that pops in my head that I want to speak on is a close person to me, because I actually am going to get real here. You know, I have gotten sad at points and depressed, and of a very close person to me was actually that person for me. And so I've experienced it both ways. And so for me, and what that person did for me was they talked to me and talked it out. And the one thing that always stuck with me is it's like something to the effect of, I know right now it's a dark tunnel, but that's the point of tunnels, is so you can get out. And I know that sometimes there's going to be a hole and it's going to seem endless, but you just have to go up, because if you're gone, if you choose to be gone, then there's nothing else that you could do, that you could have done. And there's so much for you to do. And so that's just the advice that I got and everything. And, that would probably be something similar to what I would say to that person. And it wasn't very recent, but there was a time. My cat's meowing. Hi. he clearly wants to talk about this too. Where was I in my thoughts? It didn't happen recently, but there was a time where a person I knew did come to me for that. And so, and I didn't know them very well. And so I was shocked, but of course, you know, I wanted to help in any way that I could, and they wanted advice. And so what I did was I asked them if I could give them a hug, because, you know, sometimes people don't want that, or they don't feel comfortable. And they said yes. And so I gave them a hug, and, I stayed there, and I don't always have food on me, but I don't know. I guess ever since this has happened, I've always like had to try and have food on me, because one of the things that somehow got to talking about after like them telling me what was wrong, and just because I needed to tell someone, and they trusted me, was food. And I was like, oh yeah, I have a Snickers bar, do you want it? And they just started laughing, and to the point where they were like crying. And so they felt so much better about this like random Snickers bar and this person that would listen to them. And so for me, I am definitely that person who I think I'll do both. I'll listen and talk if they need me to talk. I'll listen if they need me to listen. I always want to be that person that helps people, and that's always been my number one goal in life, is to help people. I have aspirations that I want to do in life. I want to be a writer. I want to teach kids in different countries around the world. I want to travel. I want to experience things. But my number one goal in life is to help people. And so something like talking to someone and helping them really makes my life better. And I'm glad that I can make people's life better. And that's just it.
And with that, I think we'll bring this to a close, because that is amazing, Jade. I don't know what else to say, but those are such strong words from just such a strong young woman. I mean, I always see you as this little girl when I first met you.
Yeah.
To see you grow up and to be this strong, independent woman with a voice is amazing. And I've told you this before. I mean, I've known you for a while, and I see you as a daughter of mine. And your dad is my brother.
Yeah.
And sorry, everyone. I don't want to get all it's kind of starting to tear up a little. I mean, but it's good. Yeah. I mean, thank you. Thank you so much for doing this with me. And I wish nothing but the best for you. I mean, you, like I said, you are a strong young woman, a strong, beautiful young woman. And all you guys out there, keep your hands off her, because this her other father will knock you out. But I mean, when I was driving home, I mean, listening to all the stuff I've been seeing on the news and reading stuff on Facebook and how everyone's, oh, we should do this, we should do that. It's all the older people that are talking. I want to hear younger voices talk on how it made them feel. It made everybody feel bad, but I just wanted to hear a younger voice on what was going on and what how you felt. So, I mean, thank you so much for doing this. It's usually not the type of stuff that I cover with all the craziness that your father and I talk about. So,
yeah.
But I mean, it's good, man. And thank you so much for being a part of this. And as well as doing your show. And while we're talking about your show, I know you've been on a little hiatus.
Hiatus, I know. Yeah. I have this week off, so I have literally no excuse not to do it.
I mean, yeah, I'm not telling you to do it, but I mean, just feel free. I mean, it's always whenever you feel like it. But it's an amazing show. And I've told you before, there's times where I have no idea what you're talking about, but I'm just an old fart. So, but anything else you want to say before we get out of here?
No, I think that's it. I just I really appreciate you asking me. I was kind of shocked, and I was like, am I gonna be able to like talk about this since I'm like about to like, I don't know, fall asleep? But I'm like, no. I have to, and once I got going, I was like in the zone, and I was like, okay, let's do it. And I'm really glad I got to you, since usually I don't usually talk about subjects like this. So I really appreciate it, and thank you for having me.
Oh, you're always welcome. You know that. You can just whenever you feel like jumping on with us, if you're home, and anything you want to talk about. If you feel like you can't do it on your show or E-Society, I mean, you can definitely come on here and vent about whatever, and we'll all sit down. But again, I love you so much, Jade. Thank you for doing this. And everybody, this is Jade, the host for the Out of Necessity podcast. Do give her past few episodes a listen. Amazing show from an amazing young woman that's putting her voice out there, and it's awesome. I mean, you hear me and her father yap about this and that, and all the crazy things that we talk about on E-Society. So, but again, this is episode 99. One more episode for till 100. I have no idea what I'm going to talk about on the next episode, but I just hit my 2-year anniversary. So, everyone, thank you so much. Thank you so much for listening to the show. So, but Jade, hey, again, thank you so much. And like I said, you're always welcome to come on.
Yeah, thank you again for having me.
All right, everybody. And with that, we're out of here because it's getting late, and Jade and I are both tired. So until next time, everybody, be excellent to each other. Stay strong. If you need that hug, or if you need someone to talk to, reach out to Jade. I mean, she'll definitely.
Oh, yes, please do. That's a great note. Let me think. Email, maybe. Okay, let's see. I'm trying to think. Not my school email, because I use that for different stuff.
What?
But
Oh, well, let's do it this way. If you guys want to reach out to Jade, you can always reach out through Facebook, through East Society. Go to East Society or MacNez Podcast Facebook pages. Leave a message, and we will definitely get it to Jade, because I don't want you giving out personal
Right.
So anyway, okay. You can always get you can get a hold of us, and we'll pass it on to her. Because, like you said, we're two fathers that are really protective of our daughter. So that's cool. That it?
Yeah.
All right. Hey, and everyone, we got to be strong. I mean, I always say this. There's just a lot of craziness going on in the world, and we all need to stand together. Everybody throughout the world, not just here in America. So, with that. You guys know, like I always say, man, you guys just rock hard and skate fast.
This is a peaceful movement. No need for guns or bullets. No need for hate or violence.
Try to make it something that it's not.
It is what it is, yeah. Na na na.